Charlie and Katie talk with Deanna McLaughlin from Crime Stoppers on this special episode that features unsolved crimes. Maybe you'll have information that will finally help police solve these cases. All on this special two-part edition of Clarksville's Conversation.
I didn't realize there were so many unsolved crimes in Clarksville.
Right. When I had requested updated information from the Clarksville Police Department, I knew we had around a dozen, but it ended up being 16 unsolved homicides. And some are
16. Wow.
Some are newer and some are very old.
So we're going to talk about some of those. And the first two we're going to talk about, what were their names, Deanna?
Laburn Evitts and then Mr. and Mrs. Campbell.
Okay. Well, let's start with Evitts. Why don't you tell us about that one, which you know a little bit.
Okay. So in the press release that came out from the Clarksville Police Department on July 10th, 2020, the police were looking for a car in connection with the death of a pedestrian late that evening.
Okay.
And police reported that 77-year-old Laburn Evitts of Clarksville died in what the investigators were calling a pedestrian fatality.
So what does a pedestrian fatality mean?
When somebody is on foot or on a bicycle and they get struck by a vehicle.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Apparently, this occurred near Providence Boulevard and Plum Street. And police were at the time looking for a four-door car that had damage to the front passenger side headlight area. They believe that the car was a 2016, 2017, or 2018 Nissan Altima.
Do they get that kind of information from, like, witnesses and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Yes. And also, I believe that there was a business in that area that had a camera outside that they gleaned that information from.
Hmm. Interesting.
And really, nothing has moved on that case since.
Wow.
Now, a few months ago, the family of Mr. Evitts went to the Nashville news media to try to get this story back out in the public. And they're just devastated, the fact that they still don't know who caused the death of their father.
Yeah, of course they are.
Do people call you, Crime Stoppers, or the police just asking how they can help? I know there's a process, a tips line process, but when people just generally don't have a tip, but they want to help, do you ever get those kind of calls?
No, but if anybody wants to know how they can help, they can talk about these cases amongst their friends and family. Maybe somebody knows something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what's great about Crime Stoppers is oftentimes people are afraid to go directly to law enforcement. And they may have a small piece of information that is needed to solve the crime. And that's what calling Crime Stoppers anonymously or going through our app is there for.
So now I want to go back to this. So this car that hit this gentleman.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Did they just leave him there?
Yeah, it was a hit and
run. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
So someone found him.
Right.
Ugh. That poor family.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you saw it recently. I mean, probably as recent as yesterday, the police department put out a public service notice that, hey, pedestrians, if you're crossing traffic, you know, especially at night, don't wear dark clothing. Don't be on your cell phone. You know, be aware of your surroundings and, you know, try to cross at crosswalks if at all possible. But there you've probably heard there have been a series of pedestrians hit here in the last
several
months.
No, I hadn't heard that.
Really?
I told you I've been under a rock.
Okay. Well, get out from under the rock. But yes, it has happened. Sort of. Most recently, there was a 22-year-old female that was struck and killed on Cunningham Lane and Fort Campbell Boulevard.
Wow.
That was, I think, Monday evening. So,
yeah. Well, I think it's really important that we continue to get this information out, refresh everybody's memory, and maybe be a help. So I'm glad we're doing this and that you're bringing a lot of this information to light for us.
So if anybody has any information about this incident that occurred back in, was it July?
July 10th.
July 9th, 2020.
Yep. Almost a year ago.
Please call 911 to speak to a police officer or call 931-645-TITPS, which is the Crime Stoppers number, and remain totally anonymous.
And Crime Stoppers will pay up to $1,000 for any tip that leads to an arrest.
And the cases that we're talking about now, those are $1,000 reward cases.
Oh, wow.
$1,000 cash for tips that lead to the arrest and or conviction of.
Somebody out there has to know that that vehicle, somebody out there knows that their friend's vehicle is dented now and then it wasn't. Somebody knows. Right. Somebody out there knows this. Right. Unless they sold it since then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on January 4th, 2016, a man by the name of James Brown was located at 831 Isaac Drive by Clarksville police, that and he had passed away in his residence from an apparent gunshot wound. His residence, like I said, was on Isaac Drive. He was 26 years old at the
time. He's a youngin.
Yeah, at the time of his death. He had a nickname, J.L. Bay, B-E-Y. And there wasn't any more information developed after that, or if it was, it wasn't released to the public. At the time, Mike Ulrey was the detective on the case, and the Leaf Chronicle ran a pretty big story on it. But nothing has developed, and that's why we're bringing this back up. This case is featured on our ClarksvilleCrimeStoppers.com website. There's a picture of the victim there. If anybody has any information about this case and they don't feel safe going to law enforcement, that's what Crime Stoppers is for. You can make an anonymous tip at 931-645-TIPS. You can also hit a button on our website and do a mobile or web tip. There's also an app on the Google Play, the P3 app, and all of those tips go to a call center or a resource center centralized for all Crime Stoppers, and then it's pushed back to the appropriate jurisdiction. Tipsters are assigned a number. Nobody ever knows who you are. Yeah. You're a number.
So how closely does Crime Stoppers work with local law enforcement? I mean, you mentioned a detective a few minutes ago. How often do you guys talk, or how do you share information other than the private tips? I mean, do you guys talk?
So what happens is when there is a crime that law enforcement is seeking assistance with, they put a press release out, and we get all of those. We're copied on all of them, whether it's from Austin Peay, whether it's from the Clarksville Police Department or from the Sheriff's Office. We get those press releases, and then we push them out on our Facebook, which is the fastest way for us to push information out.
Yeah.
And oftentimes people will share the information from there on their Facebook pages. Otherwise, we have never met some of these investigators.
Yeah.
We do on our board have ex officio or non-voting law enforcement members that help. They're kind of like the liaison between us and the agency.
Yeah.
So we have Roger Carroll from the Clarksville Police Department. We have Cheryl Ramsey from Austin Peay. We have Tim Harp and Roy Kennedy from the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office. But basically, when we receive a press release, we push that information out through our through our resources.
Okay, great.
So we have another one that you said was, it's kind of got an interesting twist that we're going to talk about.
Yes. So this case occurred on April 25th, 2012, and the victim's name is James Stacker. And on April 25th, the Clarksville Police Department responded to the intersection of Locust Street and Chapel Street, which is in the New Providence area. And they located Mr. Stacker, who was 26 years old at the time, with an apparent gunshot wound. And apparently the vehicle that, that may have come from was a blue Chevy Cavalier. And the gunshot wound left him paralyzed from the chest down. And then 3 years after he sustained the injuries, he died as a result of his injury. So this was classified as a homicide because of that. The gunshot wound on that day caused him to lose his life that many years later.
Wow.
And this one happened on Locust and I saw it, Locust and Chapel Street. That's kind of downtown area, is it?
It's Boot Hill area.
Okay, Boot Hill area. Okay.
And how police ended up arriving at the scene is there were several 911 calls. So people heard,
somebody heard
gunshots.
Something.
So somebody has some kind of information about this case. And, you know, just like when with any of these unsolved homicides, there are remaining family members and friends that just would like some closure
Well, let's talk about Mr. and Mrs. Campbell.
Okay, this case I remember, and I was not even involved with Crime Stoppers or anything close to it when this happened, but this happened pretty close to where I live. And it was on January 28th, 2020, or 2010 rather, William and Ina Campbell, older couple, lived by themselves in the home they lived in for a long time. Due to health reasons, they slept in separate rooms. But when friends and neighbors couldn't get a hold of them, a neighbor who had a key to the house went in and found them murdered in their beds.
And do they know how long they'd been there?
They were, I think that they thought it had been within 24 hours or so, but, they had both had gunshot wounds that caused their death. And, from everything that I had read, it seemed like a very tight knit neighborhood there. And the fact that,
Nobody heard it.
Nobody heard anything. Nobody, saw any vehicles coming or going. And for a while I had heard that law enforcement had knew who might be involved. But in a lot of these cases that are unsolved, having a hunch without having the facts to tie everything together will not.
It won't hold
develop
up in court.
A case. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So anybody who knows anything about this case, they lived over on, oh my gosh, I just lost the name of the street.
Jackson Road.
Yeah, Jackson Road, which is in the old Bel Air subdivision. And
this one was back from 2010, Charlie.
Yeah, 2010. And then Nashville news media picked it back up in 2018 and spoke with some of the neighbors or people who were part of finding them that day. And actually, the detective on the case is now a sergeant in District 2 for Clarksville Police Department. And you know, I'm sure he'd like to get some closure right on this case, too. I mean, death of somebody is devastating, but an older couple, you know, in the late retirement years of their life, minding their own business at home, you know, asleep.
Was there any, and you might not know this, was there any evidence of a break-in or robbery or anything like that?
From what I read, they didn't appear to see anybody any way that somebody would have broken or let themselves in. So chances are somebody that was possibly known or they were asleep.
And somebody had a key, something.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
So these cases that we're discussing, and, you know, they're from different years, different type situations. Is there anything listed on the Crime Stoppers pages?
Yes.
Where can people get more information just to help if they think, well, maybe I kind of remember something, but I need a little more to jog my memory?
So all of the cases that are unsolved homicides are listed on the Clarksville Crime Stoppers website. And there's actually a tab that's tabbed unsolved murders, and they're listed in chronological order with the newest to the oldest case. In some cases, we were able to post a picture of the victim. We have three cases where they're so old that there's not a picture in the case file, so we weren't able to add those. But I mean, when you read when you hear about things like this and you can put a face with the crime, it makes it more real and more concerning.
Right.
And the picture posted of this couple, you know, they look like everybody's grandparents, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I sure hope they find who did this.
Well, hopefully doing these type series podcasts and just talking and discussing these and getting them back out in the light will possibly help.
Right.
You know,
and if you may have thought of something years ago about any of these cases and thought, oh, it's probably not anything, go back to that instinct and go ahead and report it.
Because who knows?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't know what other evidence they have that they might be able to link that
tied together.
Can you talk a little bit more about, I know you can be anonymous, you know, with your tips and all this, but how can you, you know, you tell people that are afraid to be involved, that are afraid to get involved, how can you tell them it's okay and that they're going to be fine if they help?
So by reporting a tip through Crime Stoppers, nobody ever knows your name. Your number's not traced. Your email address isn't obtained. No information about you is obtained. you are given a code, numerical code, and that's how you are referenced from that point forward.
Okay.
And it's up to the person that reports the tip to keep that code and check back through the P3 website to see how the tip is progressing. In some cases, it could take several months for investigators to vet through a tip. So, you know, if you call a tip in and you have a code, please be patient. Please check back often, because we don't know who you are. We're not contacting you to say, hey, we have your reward. It's up to the person right. that submits the tip.
Download Clarksville's Conversation wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss out on a single conversation.